God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about women submitting to their husbands. And that is an area about which many women are afraid and dismayed. But it was God's idea. And my friend Elizabeth Rice Hanford has written an excellent little book called Me, Obey Him. I had a lovely letter from one of my radio listeners who told me that her husband was about to retire and they were going to be doing quite a bit of traveling, and he wanted a pickup truck. I guess all his life, as so many men seem to want, he had desired a pickup truck, which made no sense to the wife since they would be doing traveling in what she thought was a nice, comfortable car. And so she said, "My husband has been good to me, and I had washed my car at the car wash and drove it on the highway to dry it, and the Lord spoke to me in my mind so loudly I knew it was Him. I had prayed and asked Him to speak loudly, because when He nudges me quietly, like in my conscience, which must be the Lord, I don't always listen. He told me I should let my husband buy the pickup he's been looking at and tell him I love him more than any car in the world and that I want him to be happy and feel good about himself and proud of what he is. I want him to get the pickup, and I'll forget about the bigger car unless he wants to do something about it in the future." I started crying. I was so disappointed. And I said, "Lord, why do I always have to give in?" And He said, "Do you want him to get well or have a car?" Of course, my husband means more to me than any car. But for a few minutes, it was close. I really wanted that car. I knew what I had to do. I cried all the way home. So when we went to look at the car, after he got off work, I told him just what God had told me to say. I didn't tell him that God had told me to say it. It meant so much to him. He was really excited about the truck. He went and looked at the car and liked it, but he didn't feel it was the one we should get. Going home, I talked about the truck. He said he didn't want that truck anymore, and he thought we needed a car with less miles than I've just looked at. Later, he looked in the ads and found some cars for us to look at, which showed he wasn't just fooling me. He went out later to take the trash, always an excuse for getting outside or in the garage to drink beer. When he came in, he said, "Mama, I want you to know I wasn't out there drinking," and he came and kissed me and wanted me to smell his breath. "Praise the Lord. He's starting to come back to our world. I knew you'd want to know God's hearing your prayers, and our granddaughters, who really love the Lord, are praying for him too. Patience and gentleness with my husband is very hard for me." Now here's a woman who was willing to give up her desire for a comfortable car and encourage her husband to buy the pickup truck. He made up his own mind that it didn't make sense to buy the pickup truck. So you really don't know what the results of your obedience are going to be. But I read a letter yesterday from a woman whose husband wasn't all that she thought he ought to be, and she took things into her own hands and was very pleased with the results. I cautioned against a worldly pragmatism which ultimately judges things by the results. Results are important. Please don't misunderstand or misinterpret what I'm saying. But one thing is far more important than results, and that is obedience to God. Often the results lead us into difficulties. More often, I have found obedience to God leads to happiness far greater than our fears. I go on with Elizabeth Rice Hanford's book about why did God tell a woman to obey her husband. A wife's submission pictures the submission of the church to Christ. Ephesians 5, 22 to 33 is a long passage, and I won't read the whole thing. You can read it for yourself. But it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. The Lord intends for marriage to be as delightful, as sweet, and intimate and tender as the relationship He wants us to experience with Him. And in turn, He wants our fellowship with Him to be as real and tangible as that that we have with our mate. Christ's love for the church caused Him to give Himself for it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See the bedraggled, soiled bride, cleansed and sanctified, dressed in the garments of her bridegroom's righteousness, coming to her bridegroom's home, holy and without blemish. A wife is to obey her husband because she pictures the obedient bride of Christ, cleansed and ornamented, entering into the unspeakable joy of union with her Lord. How could that kind of obedience be onerous, a thing to be ashamed of or despised? Chapter 2 is entitled, What Do the Scriptures Say About a Wife's Obedience? We've found why God commands obedience. Now let's see what obedience the Scripture requires. Unto the woman, God said, thy desire shall be to thy husband. 1 Corinthians says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. She gives Ephesians 5:22, 5:24, 5:33, Colossians 3:8, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. And another translation says, you wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, for that is what the Lord has planned for you. Another one says, for this is your Christian duty. And there's several pages of the places in Scripture where we are told to be submissive to our husbands. And I know that some of you are thinking right now, all Elizabeth ever talks about is wives' submission to their husbands. She never talks about husbands loving their wives. Yes, I have. I have talked about that quite a few times. You might have missed them. But right now, I'm reading from Elizabeth Hanford's book. Is there in any one of these scriptures a restriction on a wife's obedience? Does a single scripture mention any situation when a wife ought not to obey? Is any command qualified by any if the husband were not a Christian, if the wife thought God were leading her contrary to His command? Is there a hint in any scripture that a wife may have to choose between conflicting authorities? If you are intellectually honest, you will have to admit that it is impossible to find a single loophole, a single exception, an if or unless. The Scriptures say without qualification to the open-minded reader that a woman ought to obey her husband. A wife obeys her husband whether he is a Christian or not, whether he is spiritually minded or not, whether he earns her respect or not. It is his position as head of the wife that she honors, not his personality. In fact, the contrary is true. A wife is to be especially obedient if her husband is not saved. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation, and that word conversation there means the manner of living or the behavior of their wives. Many of you are married to a non-Christian husband. Are you tempted to give him books, to insist that he should listen to Gateway to Joy, to have devotions with him and read the Bible to him? The Bible doesn't tell the wife of a non-Christian husband to do that. It says they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. The wife who obeys her husband, I'm reading again from Hanford's book, may win him by her meek and quiet spirit, her loving behavior. Note, it says may win him. It doesn't say will. There's no hint that a woman may have to choose between conflicting authority. God knows it is impossible to live under two rulers, No man can serve two masters. God commanded children to obey their parents. Therefore, he was especially careful that the child grown to manhood understand that he is released from the authority of his parents. And then she gives many scriptures about obedience to those who are in authority over us, not only husbands, but men being in submission to civil authorities, etc. In Acts 5:29, Peter said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." These two scriptures have often been used as an excuse for civil or wifely disobedience. But to do so misses the whole point. The result of the testimony was they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Why? Because they had not broken any laws, civil or religious. There are some examples in the Bible of a Christian's breaking a civil law in order to keep God's law. They are extremely rare. And never did the civil authority suffer lack because a man obeyed God. Daniel, long before he landed in the lion's den, had proved his value to the kings of Babylon. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, walking about in the flames of the fiery furnace, had also proved the faithfulness of God. It is safe to conclude that when God told a woman to obey her husband, he intended for her to be able to do it without the risk of offending other authorities.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.